The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome all of you back. Great to have you with us for the second hour. And we are looking forward to our next guest, too, is Billy Lucci, to give us an update on what is going on right now at Texas A&M after a rather rocky start, two wins, but a lot of issues, including Haynes King missing significant time after suffering a serious injury against Colorado. Billy Lucci has been with us many, many times. And Billy, thank you very much for joining us now. First of all, before we get to the state of the season, what is the latest on Haynes King and when do they think he is going to return? Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul? I think Jimbo won't say the latest. He doesn't want to put a timetable on it, but I have heard from multiple sources that Haynes will be back this season, you know, barring anything unexpected. Obviously, you never know, but he's expected to be back this season. It's not the type of injury that will cost him typically that many weeks. So I don't know exactly when. I think, you know, if you're wondering if he'll be back for that potential showdown with Alabama, I'd be highly skeptical. You know, they have a bye week Halloween. It wouldn't shock me if we saw him back maybe after that, which would be Auburn, Ole Miss, LSU, among the remaining games. I absolutely expect him back. And knowing Haynes, Paul, this is a guy that when he was in contact tracing last year prior to their Orange Bowl, we saw him basically sitting out in what was essentially the Texags parking lot in the back of his truck so he could watch practice, and he was charting plays on his own. So they're going to probably have to hold him back in order to keep him from getting out there sooner. But certainly a devastating setback for him in just his second career start, and for the Aggies, who are really looking forward to, I know Jimbo and A&M were looking forward to what he could do even as a true freshman.
Let's talk about next man up. And we saw a preview of that Saturday. Thank goodness Calzada came through. But tell us more about him, Billy.
Here's the thing about Zach, Paul, is Zach's got, and you probably saw it on Saturday, he's got an NFL, he's got a Sunday arm. There's no doubt about it. It's live. It jumps off of his hand. He can make every throw. What I think has hurt Zach on Saturday, and it hurt him in that QB competition, is sometimes he's always throwing that ball. It's not that dissimilar to what Nick Starkel was doing back when he was competing with Kellen Mond back in the day. And so that'll get you in trouble over the middle when you throw it too hot or you overshoot a target. And we saw that on Saturday. And we also saw a guy that I think had to settle in. When he did settle in, he looked like the kid that Jimbo Fisher offered basically within 5 minutes of seeing him at camp. He looked like the guy that Georgia and Kirby Smart desperately tried to steal from A&M in the couple days before signing day 2 years ago. And he looked like in that fourth quarter, Paul, you saw some of those plays he made. He looked like the dude that in high school in Georgia won a playoff game with a broken rib and punctured lung. So he's got some stuff to him, and he's certainly got the arm talent. Now, I think, Paul, Jimbo's going to have to change up a lot. I know on Saturday a big part of going after that Colorado get up field and attack defense was going to be a lot of speed option with Haynes King. Zach can run a little bit, but they're not going to design, I don't think, a run game plan based around him like, say, they had on Saturday that they kind of had to scrap mid, you know, after a couple of possessions.
Billy, I know you've laid out what he's capable of, but how has this changed the complexity of the first half of the season, where it looked pretty easy going into the Alabama game, and now here comes Arkansas after a huge win? Probably didn't go unnoticed, right, in College Station, and then ultimately on October 9th, the Bama game that has been eagerly anticipated.
Yeah, well, first of all, that Arkansas game, as you know, was kind of like the torn up A&M fans, because they were loving it, and then going, okay, Arkansas, maybe don't look quite that good. But it certainly throws into question some games. And that was assuming that Haynes was going to go out and play really well as a freshman starter. We had only seen him in one game. He had thrown three picks. I think he would have got it figured out. He's so talented, and he had such a great camp. But Arkansas, Mississippi State, and of course, I think you kind of separate that Alabama game, Paul, for right now, and you look at Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Missouri, those three around it. Those are games that the Aggies should still go out and trot out the most talented team on the field, but they've got to get good quarterback play. And what we're not talking about is the A&M offensive line. Four new starters, and they look like a group that's starting four new players in the first couple games. And that's not unexpected at all, but you've got a couple weeks to get that right, and you certainly have to have that shored up significantly by the time you play Alabama or Zach Calzada or Haynes King or Kellen Mond or Johnny Manziel would have a hard time. So definitely some improvement that needs to be made. But I've been watching college football these first couple weeks, and I think you can say that about a hell of a lot of teams in the top 10. But some big games coming up for the Aggies, and certainly just like a lot of teams, there's some real question marks right now.
Billy, let me flip over to the Longhorns for just a second, because I kind of moved on from them after Saturday. But what have been your impressions of what you saw? And to the question about their readiness for the SEC, what do you think?
I talked to a lot of my Longhorn friends that were talking about how big and physical Arkansas was and how that was kind of why they lost. And I sat there and said, imagine playing in Athens the next weekend and then playing A&M. And then the week after that, your off week is going to Starkville with the Cowbells and facing Mike Leach. And then you're back at it again a week later against Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. This is just, it's a different league. I think OU will be ready for it. Somewhat. I think they're going to take a step back and not be going 11-1 every year. But I think Texas, the longer that team can wait to join the SEC, the better for them. And I know they're in a big rush. Every Longhorn I knew laughed at when I said that going into Fayetteville was going to be a tough game and that Arkansas was going to be pretty good this year. And that 3-7 could have easily been 5-5 in Sam Pittman's first year. And you know, all gas, no brakes, and they ran into Sam Pittman, Mr. Aw Shucks, Mr. Yes Sir, and it wasn't a competitive game on any level. So it'll be interesting to watch Arkansas the rest of this season. I thought they looked really good. Texas did not look good, and they've got to look around the Big 12. They're going to go into TCU in a couple weeks, and that's kind of a must-win game, I think, for Sark in terms of momentum, because you want to get the type players to compete in this conference week in and week out. Well, you've got to be winning games before you get there, or you're going to come in here undermanned and overmatched, and not just when you play Arkansas, but you and I both know the list of teams, and for A&M, it's been a kind of a steady but long climb to kind of crack up into that upper echelon. And I'm not even saying at the top, that upper echelon. But you can get buried in this conference pretty quickly if you don't have the right players and if you don't have the right coach.
We'll leave it there. We'll let the Longhorns chew on what Billy Lucci said as his exclamation point.
You always do it to me, Paul.
The right coach. Billy, always good to see you. Never disappoint us. We will hopefully see you very soon out there.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks.
You got it. Billy Lucci. Stick that one in your Matthew McConaughey end table. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and it's great to have all of you here. And more phone calls at 855-242-7285. Trey is up next. Good afternoon. Hello, Trey. I did not hear Trey. Maybe I need to turn my my hearing aid up. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Ball, you're looking good. You're sounding good. I want to quote Elvis Presley as we look toward the Georgia Bulldog game. Oh, this time, oh Lord, you gave us a mountain, but we may never climb. We're going to do our best, Paul. We're going to do our best.
Well, Cat Daddy, that's exactly what you should do. Thanks for sharing that with us. Susan is up next in Florida. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Paul. Wow, this is just a great honor to talk to you. I watch you all the time.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions, but first, I guess a little background is I've lived in Florida for 16 years, but I'm going to ask you about Notre Dame. But I actually grew up in a city called Mishawaka, Indiana. I don't know if you know that city.
I do not.
Well, you know the one it's right next to. It's called South Bend.
Know it well.
Now, I am not a Notre Dame fan. I am no Notre Dame fan. It's love them, hate them, and I'm not on the love side. But everybody else in my family is. But my question is, watching them this past 2 weeks, now, when Notre Dame suffers, I'm in heaven. So for the last 33 years, when they don't win a national championship, I'm loving it. Loving it. But watching them, is this Notre Dame playing down to their competition, or are they just really this bad this year?
Susan, I don't think they're bad. I think they had a very emotional game against Florida State. And what I mean emotion, it was in a very difficult environment because of the Bobby Bowden situation. So, I mean, they survived.
Right,
they blew the game. They should have blown Florida State out, but they didn't. I think what happened against Toledo was just simply a hangover, and it happens after a big game. And I think Notre Dame is quite fortunate to be 2-0. But, you know, let's see what they do now. Purdue, Wisconsin. I think that Cincinnati game is really large. And then at Virginia Tech and you know, SoCal doesn't bother me anymore. But, you know, that's not an easy schedule. I tend to think they're going to get dinged up a little bit. I don't think this is a playoff team.
Please.
But I don't think they're a dreadful team either. I think they look like about a 10-2 team to me.
Okay, I got one other question. I was reading Brian Kelly is one win away from tying Newt Rockne's school record, which now, you know, Notre Dame country, Newt Rockne is like, you know, a god.
Nobody's bigger than him.
I mean, yeah. So how do you compare Brian Kelly to Newt Rockne? I mean, you can't. I just don't see making a big deal out of it because it was Newt Rockne and what he did for that school.
Yeah, that's like asking me, you know, how would you compare some artist in Greenwich Village to Picasso? I mean, they're not even comparable. Newt Rockne was the greatest coach of his era, And, you know, not only for what he did at Notre Dame, but the innovation that he had in college football. Brian Kelly is a very good coach. There was a time when I didn't really care for him, but I've grown to admire him. He's endured, and he's in a cauldron of suffocating pressure at Notre Dame. And I think he's handled it mostly pretty well. He's been to two playoffs. But remember, he hasn't won a national championship. And what Newt Rockne won bucketfuls of them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and I have to say, boiler up, because my husband's a Purdue alum, and then I have a son who is a Roll Tide. There you go.
Hey, listen, I understand the Purdue arrogance. The couple that lives across the street from me are both Purdue graduates, and I just would like to. It's hard to break it to them that they don't really matter in the. In the pantheon of college football, but for some reason, Purdue fans think they do. They had what Bob Greasy played there. Has anybody a couple other good players?
Drew Brees was the last.
Leroy Keyes. I mean, not enough to get my attention.
No, but that's where my husband went. So, and like I said, my son is Roll Tide 100%.
I got it. Now I hear you there.
But so I appreciate you taking the time,
Thank you.
It was. Great talking to you.
It was my pleasure, Susan. Thank you very much. Boiler up. How about that? I've never heard that one before. let's check in with John, who is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question about Mississippi State defense. You know, Mike Leach gets known as air raid offense, but this is the first year they've had a top 25 defense, and I just kind of wanted your opinion on their ceiling and how – do you think that it's going to go this year for them?
I think they have. They're possibly a surprise team. I thought they were about to lose the first game, and then they came back against NC State, which all the experts told us was a really good team. They're not, by the way, but we were told they were. And I think Mississippi State, you know, it really is in an interesting 2-week stretch here. You know, should they get past Memphis and LSU, they're off and running, and we'll have a fantastic year. But, can they get out of Memphis? What do you think?
You know, I think so. You know, really, I trust Mike Leach in the offense. I just kind of want to be him with the top 25 defense, which we haven't seen till this year.
Well, if they're still ranked, if that defense is still ranked after the next 2 weeks, then it's going to be really good. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Tyler in Kentucky. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
I got a couple questions for you. Why, like, people giving more credit to Kentucky, man, cracking the top 25? They didn't look so sharp against Missouri, but they ended up getting the win. And I think, you know, all the teams got worried about now is maybe Florida and LSU, which we play at home.
Hey, thanks for the call, Taylor. I don't mean to cut you off. I don't know, Randy, the reception, I've never really thought about this, but I felt like you know, the first second or two of being in an electric chair probably had to sound like that call. But here's why I think Kentucky is not in the top 25. Arkansas is because they won on a very big national stage against Texas. Missouri may be a better team than Texas, but it just that game did not resonate outside of SEC circles. We know how important it is because we talk about this every day of the year. But I think the people that vote in the polls, the coaches and the broadcasters, just don't respect Missouri enough to value that victory, even though Missouri's program certainly has been on a high level lately. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I think Trey tried us earlier. He did not answer the bell. We will give him one more chance.
Hey, Paul.
Hello, Trey.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, why do you think that Georgia will destroy South Carolina?
Okay, let me turn this back to you. Why do you think they won't?
Well, Paul, because we had a good outing in Georgia 2 years ago, I think that we will be just fine.
Does that matter one bit today?
I think so.
Explain why.
I mean, just because we're under a new coaching staff, and I think things are going well right now.
It took you needed a field goal to beat East Carolina at the end of the game.
But look at all the calls that didn't go South Carolina's way that could have been a totally different ball game.
Georgia shut down Clemson. You probably are familiar with them. And they just ripped apart a really good football program in UAB with a backup quarterback. And by the way, I know I said that and somebody picked up on it and it's being disseminated that I'm saying that Georgia, I mean they're going to win handily. What does that mean? A couple of touchdowns. Destroy is maybe an actionable word, but I'm more interested in, I'm not being disrespectful. I had Shane Beamer on here yesterday and I'm a huge fan, but I just don't understand, what 2 years ago had to do with anything. And I'm just trying to compare in my mind what I know about Georgia and what I know about South Carolina from a talent standpoint.
Well, why do you feel as if they don't have a chance?
Trey, because I don't think they have enough players. I mean, it comes right down to talent. I don't think there's a – I think from a matchup standpoint, Georgia wins hands down.
Okay. I mean, that's honest.
Yeah. So I'm gonna ask you the same question you asked me. Other than 2 years ago – on a missed kick, explain to me why you think South Carolina is going to go into Athens and win this game.
I just feel as if our defense will show up just like it did 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to call a draw.
Yes, sir. Well, I got something for you right here, Paul.
Okay. Okay. Well,
thank you, Paul.
By the way, Trey, I'm changing my mind. I'm picking South Carolina to win based on that. We will take a short break. Back with much more. Two and a half hours to go. Keyshawn Johnson has already dropped by. Billy Lucci, John Talty in the final hour. More of your phone calls next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Good to have you with us. Let's continue with more phone calls. Putting a lot of pressure on me here. Lane is up next. Hello, Lane.
Hey, Paul. What's going on? Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I kind of got a two-part question here. Going back to week one, you had the LSU-UCLA game. Seems like the LSU fan base lost a lot of faith in their team after that loss, but so I guess the first part of this question is LSU is still a very talented team, and I can see obviously a few conflicts on their schedule that are going to be tough for them. But do you think that they're going to be able to win the majority of their games? And then to the second part, UCLA hasn't been this good as far as how they're looking since about 2015 or even before that. Do you think that they can challenge Oregon in the Pac-12 this year to win the Pac-12 championship?
I don't think UCLA can beat Oregon to win the Pac-12, and I am not as down on LSU as some people. I think it is an overreaction, but they have no margin for error now, and they can't just drop a game in the SEC because I think things are fragile, and could spin out of control if they're not careful. So I think a couple of wins will get them feeling comfortable and confident. But the Mississippi State game is going to be very big.
Oh, definitely. And I look at their schedule. I'm seeing Auburn, Florida, and then obviously Bama. I think Bama, we can take that one off the table.
Yeah, but a couple of those games are a mystery to me. And I know everyone's high on Auburn and Florida, but this weekend will help identify whether one or both of them are contenders.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look back at those games, Boutte and Johnson had great numbers even during the UCLA game. So the backup quarterback definitely has talent, and he can deliver on a certain stage. It's just obviously leaning too heavily in. I have a lot of family that's LSU fans, and it seems like they all got down on themselves after the game. So.
Yeah, I know we do it, and I'm certainly no better about not doing it as anyone else, but we tend to really overreact a lot early in the season. Now, there's a reason you have to be careful. I mean, look at Southern Cal. Did they overreact and fire the coach? No, they were probably ready to fire him a year ago, and they just needed an excuse. But in terms of LSU, I still think it's way too much overreaction to that to the LSU-UCLA game.
Okay. Well, on the other side of that coin, do you think at least if they can't beat Oregon, do you think they'll be able to win out the Pac-12 South on the UCLA side?
I'd have to look at their schedule before I could give you an educated answer. I think here it is. No, that's LA. I was thinking about UCLA. But anyway, I'm going to say no. I think there's just too many pitfalls. Pac-12 is a good conference, not a great conference, but there are plenty of places to get caught up there. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Ed is in Mobile. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
Very well, Ed. Thank you.
Man, I need your help.
I'm here.
I've got a 13-year-old who wants to play football here in Mobile, Alabama. He goes to Faith Academy. And they can't find a helmet that'll fit him. They've had to order one, but they're telling him it'll be November before they can get it in because his head's so big. His head circumference is 25 and a half inches, and that's a 2XL helmet. And I've looked at the internet, I've looked at Facebook, I've spent days just looking for one. I called what coaches I know here in Mobile, nobody's got one.
So let me make sure I understand this correctly. What does fit him, or does anything fit him?
Nothing. Nothing. They said it's a 2XL, and I had one guy deals in helmets tell me they don't make a 2XL. Well, they do.
Why can't they?
He's got one.
Well, I am going to give you – I want to make sure we get your number here because someone's watching this and will call in and say, I can do that. So I don't want to miss out on that opportunity. Has he played – so what has he used in the past?
Well, he's only 13 years old.
Okay.
So.
Not like he's played 5 years in the NFL without a helmet.
he played in elementary school, and, you know, he's a big old boy. He's 6 foot tall, 290 pounds. I mean, he's going to be big. He'll be 6'5", 6'6". But, you know, he loves football. He plays defense. And, you know, but I guess in the past 2 years, that head just swelled up, you know.
So what exactly, I tell you what, I'm going to do this, Ed. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to make sure we get your number, and if somebody calls from an apparel company and says, I can help you out.
Yeah, if they can help me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, please do.
Okay.
Please do. Thank you very much,
Thank you
Paul.
Very much. Yeah, let me make sure we get Ed on hold here. Okay. Somebody's bound to be able to help him out. Okay, so Adam Schefter saying leaked sources believe that Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy is from Southern Cal and has told confidants in the past that USC is one of the only college jobs that might interest him. It's interesting, and I don't cover the NFL, but how many times has Eric Bieniemy been mentioned for a job, and what happens? I don't understand this, because I know people that swear by him. So that's an interesting tweet. Exactly what it means, I don't know. And we're all throwing out names, and you know, would the NFL hire a respected coordinator? Yes. Would SC? I don't think there's any doubt. They went this. They brought Pete Carroll in, who had been a head coach, but Bieniemy is not an unproven talent. He's extremely well thought of. So that's an interesting name by Schefter. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Sam.
The second time calling, I talked to you last year. We were talking about Clemson and Notre Dame and the A&M situation. But I'll just call. I got two things. The first one is, do you think that Elko is a candidate for the USC position, and should we be worried in College Station?
Listen, Sam, right now, my butcher is a candidate for that job, but I think everyone his name has been mentioned. I don't have a butcher, by the way. I don't think so, because I think it's going to either be a prominent head coach or maybe, you know, maybe a coordinator in the NFL like Schefter reported, although I really don't think that will be the way they go. This is a very specific type of job. And you've got a professional making – this is not Pat Hayden or Lynn Swan, some ex-player masquerading as an athletic director. This is a professional athletic director making this decision, and I think he'll conduct the interviews and conduct the search in accordance. Nothing against Elko, okay. But I just don't think Elko right. What would be the connection?
Right. No, I don't know. But my second thing, I wanted to kind of make a point. So I think that with going into the Bama game with the backup quarterback, that could be that, like, if we kept the game close, it'd be a lot better loss than if we had Haynes King. I mean, if we roll up through there and we beat Arkansas pretty good and Mississippi State, and you go into that close game with the backup quarterback, and then King comes back and we run the slate, I mean, you know.
Well, Sam, it's a great scenario, and yeah, I don't think there's any question losing your starting quarterback is a mitigating circumstance, but it really depends on what else is going on, and what you don't need is this. You don't need undefeated Alabama and undefeated Georgia playing in Atlanta.
Right.
Because I don't think it would make any difference. I think both of them would get in the playoffs, And I have a hard time imagining a third SEC school getting in.
Right. No, that makes sense. So we just got to beat Bama then.
Well, you either need to beat Bama or get some help, and there could be help out there. We don't know. It's conceivable Alabama could lose this weekend. I know that's what some of my Florida fans are telling me.
Right. Well, I know who we'll be rooting for.
I think I understand. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's continue with Kevin, who is in Atlanta. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
You're good. I had got two questions for you. I know the first two games Auburn played in, you know, a couple kind of low-key, marquee matchups. So how do you think they're going to fare versus Penn State this weekend? And do you think Coach Haskins is kind of changing the culture? You know, I didn't really know a lot about him when he was coaching up in Boise, but I kind of like his personality and kind of what he's bringing as far as his intensity and trying to get the best out of his players. So,
well, Kevin, remember, that's why he was hired. Malzahn, for all he was, and I think he was a good coach, had really lost the direction of the program. And I don't think it was all Malzahn's fault. He didn't have a lot of support. I'm not sure he had any support. In fact, I ran into the former Auburn president Friday morning at the airport, Stephen Leish, and he was about the only person who was supporting Malzahn and who made sure that Malzahn got that contract extension, because everyone else there wanted him out, and he was always on the verge of getting out. So I think what Harsin has done is he's brought a freshness to that program. He's energized a stale product. He's helped Bo Nix find himself with some confidence. Now, the question now is, what is Auburn going to look like when they start seeing real bullets? And they'll see that Saturday night, and they'll see that against Georgia and LSU and Ole Miss and Mississippi State and Alabama and Texas A&M. So I'm not trying to rain on the parade. I think it's great that there is optimism, and Auburn has been flawless, but let's be honest, they haven't played even a bad team yet.
No, absolutely. And that's a great point. With Bo Nix, becoming a junior, you got Tank Bigsby. I really like what they got, the young defensive front. Their offensive line has never been their strength. They're all seniors. Kind of in your gut, how do you think they're going to match up versus Penn State this Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't think very well. I think it will be a good game. I just at this point, I'm struggling to come up with a route for Auburn to win. Now, that's hard to say. I know that's going in the face of what we've seen so far, but I thought Penn State's win over Wisconsin was significant. And, I mean, it was a painful game to watch. It was a defensive struggle, but that defense showed me a lot.
Yeah, I mean, with Wisconsin, they had some missed chances during that game as well. It should be interesting because the game is at, Penn State, Whiteout, so it is going to be the first true testament. Do you see any improvements with Bo Nix this year as far as...
Yeah, I do.
I know it's a small sample
I see
size.
Tremendous improvement with Bo Nix, and I think maybe he just needed some confidence, but we need to see Bo Nix under pressure. That's where he is. He has often let games get away with bad decision-making, and that's understandable. Quarterbacks don't do well under pressure. Most of them don't. Hey, thanks for the call. Dennis in Colorado. Hello, Dennis.
For taking my call. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
First of all, before I start talking a little bit about Colorado, I want to say that I've been a Bama fan since I was 4 years old. My daddy moved the family from Atlanta to Dothan, so Roll Tide to start with.
Sure.
But it seems like Pac-12 may be starting to get a little bit of respect here on the Feinbaum Show.
Well, the Pac-12 has some really bad teams, and I think we've seen that with Washington. We've seen that with a couple of others. However, Oregon has been fantastic. UCLA, there's some other good stories as well. And I was very impressed with Colorado. I thought they played a fantastic game for a program that nobody has given 10 seconds thought to in a long time.
Well, nobody outside of Colorado does that very much, but would it be fair to say that even though Texas A&M had that quarterback injury, that for the most part they outplayed Texas A&M for most of the game?
Well, I think so. There's no question that was a fantastic performance, and you build on those things. A&M hasn't looked good the whole year. A&M is a mystery team right now. We're going to talk to our next guest about them because they have a couple of games that we didn't think would be close against Mississippi State and Arkansas, while everyone's been talking about Alabama, and suddenly you have to start reexamining things. And that's really been the fun part of this first 2 or 3 weeks of the season is – you know, Arkansas has emerged. Other teams have you know, gotten a lot of Mississippi State. These are schools that, but every one of these has roadblocks, and that's, you know, just Mississippi State has an SEC schedule that is frightening. Anyway, back with more. We're coming back with two more hours to go.